Bloody Elbow presents MMA Depressed Us, the show that looks back at some fights that were so bad that they were good, fights that were just incredibly bad, and fights that were deeply disappointing.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the MMA Depressed Us with me, Zane Simon, and my co-hosts, as always, Connor Rebush and Phil McKenzie. And as it always seems to be the case for doing one of these shows, it feels like it's been forever since we've done one of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
UFC schedule is running at a mile a minute right now. We've got like this is one of, I think, 2 weeks unbooked for the first half of the year at this point. So we won't be able to come back around to this that often. But as always, we are here to bring the best of the worst of MMA. And that brings us to this week's theme, which I'm just going to call it Little Brothers, because I know like half of these people are probably the older brother in their sibling relationship, but Little Brothers really gets the point across, I think.
Yeah.
So we're gonna watch three fights from the much less notable, much less talented sibling halves of some famous MMA fighters this week. As always, well, I was going to say, as always, we're watching these fights all on Fight Pass, but we're actually going to watch the first one is on YouTube. The next two are on Fight Pass. We'll have a link to the YouTube video in the post, so if you want to watch along with us, you can find it there. And otherwise, you can just pull up the Fight Pass videos and start from the first second of each video. I'll count you in. As always, 3, 2, 1, go, and we're going to hit play. And then Connor will try to tell us when the first round starts, and we will try to talk over him and undermine that as much as possible, because we don't care what he does.
I'm just not even going to try.
Okay. I mean, I didn't think you were really ever trying, but now that I know that you have been and that you're going to stop.
I was pretending to try. Okay. You know, I was making an effort to keep up appearances, but it's over.
Oh, you were making an effort of making an effort?
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's why even bother at this point? You know, my life is a lie. I don't know when the first round is beginning, and I'm a gay man. You know, why lie about these things?
Oh,
you got it here first, folks.
Yeah,
this is where
Connor has come out of the closet.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm doing in that Denny's bathroom all the time, huh?
Neither of us choose to think about that.
Yeah, no, it's
that's why we always just say it's sleeping. We don't want to open our mind to the possibility of more.
We know what sleeping means.
I think this is a prime. The only thing that's coming through my head right now is that Onion headline of man thinks man mistakenly thinks he'd be having much more sex if he were gay. Like, I didn't assume you were having sex with a woman in that bathroom. I certainly don't think you're having sex with a man.
I'm a type, all right? I would be having way more sex. I'm a type, okay?
Are the gay men really turned on by pity?
Yeah. I'm a bear just before hibernation. You know, really loaded up, ready to sleep.
I'm not
just nowhere to go from this.
I know the next joke to make, and I'm not gonna make it.
Go on. Is it? Okay, I'll think about it. I'll guess what your joke was gonna be, and then I can sort of bust it out, as it were, when we start our first fight.
Oh my god! All right, yeah, that's probably the best idea.
Well, Zane, what are we doing?
Okay, so we're watching three fights, three less than notable MMA brothers kicking it off with perhaps the most famous, not famous MMA brother of all time.
Yes.
Valentin Overeem. And we're going to watch the only fight of his that has ever gone to decision, to my knowledge, his Fight Festival 7 bout against Mikko Rupanen.
It's important we get the details right.
Yeah, it's important to have the details be real clear on this. But this is from all the way back in 2003 in Finland, Finland's notable fight festival promotion. And we will chase that with Efrain Escudero versus Dan Lozon from UFC 114. And then follow that up with Matt Makowski versus Nick Serra from Nick Serra's final MMA fight, where he got essentially disqualified.
Don't spoil it for the people who are going to be watching along with us.
We'll just say that the official record, at least on Tapology, has one of those special hilarious notations explaining the loss.
Yeah. He's been in longer fights. We usually like to stick with decisions only, but this was too good to pass up. So, on that note, I'm going to kick us off with Fight Festival 7, Rupanin versus Overeem. We're all ready to go. Starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
Did we say that this one's on YouTube?
Yes, on YouTube. I will link the specific video. It just says Fight Festival 7, Mikko Rupanen versus Valentin Overeem.
He was at the fresh young age of 35, the tale of the tape is telling us.
Yep. So yes, firmly the older little brother, Valentin Overeem.
It is also kind of remarkable how often the worst sibling is just literally worse at like everything.
Mm-hmm.
That you would normally expect there would be some kind of like distribution of skills or attributes between the two of them, but like it's so often just literally, no, this one is worse at everything. It really does, like MMA really does follow the Arnold Schwarzenegger film Twins theory of genetics, which is there's only like a certain amount of goodness and like one of the brothers can take it all.
See, that actually seems more natural to me. I think that there's so many stories where there's a lesser sibling who is just inferior in every way. I think it's harsher when it's the older sibling, though.
It is much harsher when it's the older sibling, because you always then are going to think of them as the younger sibling, and that's
right.
I think the coolest thing is that still arguably, you know, the greatest or winningest MMA fighter of all time is basically one of these guys.
Yeah, Fedor.
No, John Jones.
Oh, John Jones. It's true.
Like he's just the dorky loser brother out of like all of them. He's just like, oh my god, I'm so pathetic. All I'm gonna have to do is go and win. It is go and be, you know, one of the most successful fighters in this shitty ass sport of all time.
It is true though that he does appear like, I don't even know that much about any, you know, I haven't followed Chandler Jones or the other Jones.
Arthur.
Arthur Jones that closely, other than knowing that they've done pretty decently in their NFL careers. But it really does seem like John Jones is, even on like the emotional family level,
he's just the screw up of the family.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
In every way.
He's just the dweeb. Like they are the actual jocks. He is the insecure nerd.
We had a nice clock wipe transition there. Appreciate the old school editing.
Excellent.
Here we go. Round one is about to begin.
Man, Mikko Rupanen really looks incredibly finished, doesn't he?
Incredibly, yeah. What? I'm sorry. I was trying to tell our wonderful audience when the fight began. Finish? I thought this went to decision.
Yes, I also thought about making that joke. And you know what, Connor? I didn't. I didn't make the joke.
That's why Phil's my favorite.
You're not courageous enough. Instantaneous takedown for the Finn.
Yeah.
I'm figuring this is going to go on for a while.
The rest of our fight.
Right, yeah. So yeah, as Zane was saying before, not only has Valentin Overeem gone to decision once in his career, out of like a 66, 65 fight career, he's gone to the second round three times.
It like, really is. We could have honestly done a whole show of like 10 Valentino fights.
Yeah, I mean, he like this was sort of what triggered the you know, they're just the worst ones tend to be worse at everything kind of discussion, because he like, oh, Alistair Overeem is the super tough, incredibly durable one of the two.
Right?
The one with the chin.
He's the one with the chin. He got the looks, he got the physique, he got the chin, he got the skill.
I mean, it has to be said,
they look
quite similar and have similar physiques. I think I think Valentine is taller too.
Is he? I
don't know. He looks taller. Maybe he's just leaner.
Let's see, he's 6'3". So
Alan Overeem 6'4".
Oh, that hurts even more if it's just 1 inch shorter.
Overeem is 6'4". Yep.
Oh. God damn.
So just like getting barely edged out by your little brother.
Yeah. Just getting punched in the ass by a Finnish man.
And also like, I mean, you know, Valentino, over his life, he doesn't look like he's strong or in good shape or anything. But if you're going to compare physiques and like who the massively jacked one is between them, Alistair Overeem wins that category too.
Yeah.
I mean, like he didn't used to.
No.
There was probably a point where like Valentin was like, at least I'm the big one.
Yeah.
At least I'm the jacked one. And then Overeem, you know, really started taking his lifting regimen seriously and really started thinking, you know, I would like to try and honestly build some muscle with my working out. And then he.
And nothing else.
Yeah.
Nutrition. You know, I mean, this is.
Horse meat. And then he became bigger.
I think this is a good point, though, that Overeem is really underrated for what he did to really build like proper strength and nutrition training into MMA. You know, he really ushered in a whole different era of taking care of one's body to get results.
Mm-hmm.
Uber discipline dream, you can call him even.
Right.
That is what they called him. That is still one of the greatest excuses in the history of MMA, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's literally like the opposite of the tainted meat excuse when you get caught.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's actually that my meat is less tainted than yours. And it made me very strong. And then there was that interview with Michael Schiavello where he shows over him a picture of a horse and the camera slowly zooms on over licking his lips.
I mean, I have to say, Overeem seems to have one of the most underrated senses of humor in this sport.
I agree. I like Overeem a lot. I find him very charming, to be honest. Yeah.
He's got the very Gegard Mousasi sort of
humor. Yeah, I was going to say, they have, that was the also who, you, is that like just being in this incredibly ruthless sport for a really long time has just given both of them this kind of mordant sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, this is pretty funny, isn't it?
yeah,
it is.
Do you think it's a Dutch thing?
Could be.
Badahari is famous for his sense of humor.
Maybe the Dutch are just a funny people.
Yeah. I mean, the clogs and the clogs and the weed and the weird singing. Yeah, I mean, they are funny in many ways.
There's a certain documentary which would argue that point. Austin Powers 3, Gold Member.
Interesting. Real good, strong factual accounting.
Really argues that the Dutch are just inherently funny.
I'm gonna buy it. Okay, yeah, it looks like it's really looking like we were right.
Yeah.
This is the whole fight, isn't it? This guy's just gonna go body head. I mean, at least Overeem is trying something at the moment. This isn't full on like Paul Daly mode.
No.
But it's still like I'm very convinced this is it.
Yeah, we've got he's
trying things, but also
not really.
Nothing is ever you're like, what is ever going to come out of any of this?
I mean, he tried something before. I was pretty excited. We had a scramble.
Yeah, it looks like he was going to take the back for a set.
Okay, let's reset.
Yeah.
Oh.
Overeem is reluctant to reset.
Yes.
Oh, he's feeling he's now beat up to his body. Like, his body is too damaged for him to get up and crawl across the cage. It really is a profound level of vulnerability to this man, that having somebody just lay on him and do, like, arm body punches from guard, he's then, like, holding his ribs as he gets up.
Kind of the opposite of what happens to me. You know? Overeem has a guy lay on him, he gets very sleepy.
Oh, okay.
Whereas I get sleepy, as it were.
This is getting way too meta for me.
Yeah, I think.
Zane, was the joke before going to be about my use of the word loaded? Was that going to be it? That was the direction I thought you were going in.
The deluxe fries of of LGBTQ identity. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that wasn't it.
One thing I was thinking is that maybe, like, looking at this and talking about the body shots, maybe we should try doing, like, a nerds getting stuffed in the lockers episode at some point. Of just, you know, where we can watch through our fingers as people who in some way represent us are just hideously annihilated in the cage. You know, your Dustin Hazlets and so on.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. Just watch Chad absolutely destroy scrappy dudes that we all want to idolize because they're getting there just based on their toughness and determination.
Well, just like just general, like, nerdy looking guys. Who was the
Chase, what's it Cooper called? Type.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I gotta see if there's a fight where Todd Duffy just, like, absolutely crushed some normal looking dude.
I gotta say,
we saw that film.
That's true, yeah.
The Finns are renowned for being a quiet, reserved people. They seem inordinately excited about this terrible fight. Like, shouldn't they all just be silently falling asleep? But they're all, like,
actually listening to it?
Yeah, they're all, like, cheering and are pretty enthusiastic.
Yeah. And maybe this was presumably, like, the main event and maybe the only live. Presumably, like, this was one of those things where it was, like, it was literally the only live MMA event in Finland ever.
I was going to say, it's probably just the only thing going on in the entire country. Like,
yeah.
What are you going to be doing in your spare time in Finland?
Well, there's the...
Going to be getting drunk in the sauna or just, I guess...
Yeah.
Shooting invaders with a sniper rifle.
Isn't there a Scandinavian, like, trans-cultural word for getting what I believe they call pants drunk?
Mm-hmm.
Getting drunk in your pants. And the Finns, while maybe not proper Scandinavians, I think they are the most renowned of that kind of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This probably just represents, like, the highlight of the year, I think.
Probably. You
know, this is their version of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, like, they are probably very drunk.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to get 4 hours of sunlight and 15 minutes of Valentin Overeem fighting. Yippee.
I mean, to be fair, he is trying his heart out for them.
He is. This is way longer than any other Valentin Overeem. This is
the grittiest, toughest.
Is he? I think it's just that the Finn is.
I mean,
not...
I'm saying he's trying his heart out. I didn't say it was, like, a particularly big heart.
Yeah, I'm not willing to concede that he's trying any more than usual. I think he's got a particularly easily satisfied opponent here, who's just like, you know what? If I keep my head down and punch his body, I'll probably win.
Now, that does sound like something that happens to you.
Yeah, but lots of people are like that. So
I always win, Zane.
You're notable for your easily satisfied opponents.
When I've got an easily satisfied opponent, I always win.
Yeah, that does sound right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, presumably Overeem would have given up against lots of people in this kind of way.
Exactly. How can he give up? What can he do? The guy isn't doing anything.
He could tap to body strikes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I suppose so. I feel like even for Valentin Overeem, you've got to give him some kind of reasonable excuse.
65 fights with him not getting, with him never going to a decision says otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, God. On the bright side, like 12 minutes have gone by already.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have flown by. Man. What a display of grappling.
Yeah. Gone by as fast as a Finnish winter.
What happened to Mikko Rupanen after this? Did he parlay this into any kind of career?
Presumably he put on a pair of long johns and got drunk for 3 months. That's my best guess. Oh no, it's just because they went to the edge. I thought we were getting a stand-up. No.
Rupanen went on to drink
beer. Have a surprisingly successful career.
Yeah, actually. This was right before a 3-fight losing streak that included 2 fights against Alex Stiebling and Matt, and 1 fight against Matt Horwich. After which he won a bunch of fights and eventually lost to Sean Salmon and Rodney Glunder. Now that is a name.
Rodney.
That's
Glunder.
An awesome heavyweight.
Rodney Glunder.
That is not a real heavyweight.
Even
name.
A little bit. Like I would expect somebody named Rodney Glunder to look, I'm going to say.
No?
Let's find out.
Let's look at anything other than this. Rodney Glunder. No. Oh, my God.
No. You're right.
He's way too jacked for a Rodney Glunder.
Yeah. He last fought in 2014 at Helsinki Fight Night against Masvidas Pieza.
Yeah, Rodney Glunder is 100% one of these those names that like an 80s like Nintendo Japanese game would have generated for its heavyweight fighters.
Yeah, there needs one. It needs one more typo. It needs like Robney Glunder.
Yes,
it needs to be slightly more incorrect. Oh my God! Wait a minute. Given name Rodney Favorous, so he chose Glunder.
He chose Glunder.
That rules.
Or maybe he took it as a married name, but I'm gonna assume he chose. Well, either way, it's still a choice.
Either way, it's a choice. Rodney Glunder is a chosen name. This guy's a legend. That's awesome.
He's also had 45 fights.
Yeah.
Or 48 fights, in fact, and lost
25 of them,
and lost the last 20.
Wow. No, there's a win in there.
There's a
win in there over a guy with an 0-1 record,
Who also has a Japanese video game name.
Yeah,
Arnoldus Jokeness.
Yeah. The only thing I'm disappointed about is that Rodney Glunder does not have like the nickname Rolling Thunder or something like that.
Oh yeah,
Glunder is the nickname. Rodney Rolling Glunder.
Oh my God, there's 8 seconds left.
And the crowd is rhythmically clapping to try to like drive the action here.
They were so excited.
Really,
I don't understand.
I mean, I think you are right. I think, you know, to the risk of us being drowned in xenophobia, this was the most exciting thing to happen in Finland in what year was it?
2003, I think.
Yeah.
There's like probably a whole, you know, 6-part Finnish documentary series they made about this one night and this one fight.
Most exciting thing to happen since the Russian Empire invaded in 1822.
I'm pretty sure that the Russian Empire has invaded since then. It was called something different, but...
Oh, man, we're getting full highlights of that one slam he hit.
Yes, literally.
A single
the beginning of the... The beginning of the, the 15 minutes of uninterrupted top control of just sporadic body punching.
We get one more angle. No.
No. Oh, we get a slap in the head and a body punch.
They're not even going to show us that one scramble that happened.
No.
Did it look like was Valentine tapping in one of those?
The chugging metal riff for this. Yeah.
That's an angle where the referee's legs are just in the way.
Oh, there's a tap.
Yeah, he taps.
He tapped.
They just kept him in. They just kept him in here for the sheer entertainment value of it.
He actually did not make it to a decision. He totally tapped to body strikes.
From full guard, yeah.
That was why there was
laying on top of him.
That was why there was the super long pause after the first reset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was like, "Oh, you stopped it, thank God." And the referee's like, "No, get back in the middle of the ring."
Finland needs excitement, Valentine.
Oh, these highlights.
Oh, this dreadful music as well. It's really.
Oh.
It's like really like sub doom level music.
We're treating the fighters as if there's something else about to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. I wonder who won.
Yeah. Woo!
Wow. Valentine here doing the double-handed tap after the fight has already ended.
Yep.
Tapping his own palms. Interesting.
Herring-flavored vodka all around.
Valentine just has to stand there and take a picture as they put the cheapest-looking belt I've ever
seen
on.
That is awesome.
It looks like they printed that belt off a computer.
That is
like a piece of 100% paper.
Like they went round to a local primary school and like
which
asked
is
the kids
is...
asked the like the kids all competed to like make a championship belt.
Oh,
and then right. That was like the second best one they could come up with because they took the best one. They're like, no, this is too good.
Yeah, that one stays at school.
This is going in one of our famous, wooden churches. I think that's a thing they have there.
All right.
What a
Let's
fight.
Jump over
this episode
to...
has been surprisingly rich in Finnish xenophobia.
It's a rare opportunity to make fun of the Finns.
Apparently, yeah, we all just hate the Finns and had no idea until watching this.
Yeah.
All right.
I hate them even more now.
Let's jump over to UFC 114. Efrain Escudero, Dan Lozon. And who knows, maybe this fight will secretly be good.
We have no recollection or knowledge of any of these fights except for the last one. So
yeah. All right. Escudero Lozon starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
I remember Escudero being kind of fun at some point.
I love the Mike Goldberg. He is made in Mexico.
Said this many times. I still say Mike Goldberg is the best MMA commentator.
100%.
He is the most fitting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I miss him, man. I miss his unchanging cadence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I miss his asinine pieces of background info.
He really has like a Chuck E. Cheese jug band feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like every event they just pull a lever and he would just sort of, he is made in Mexico. And
that is by far the saddest thing about how terrible John McCarthy is on Bellator commentary is that that you could put almost anyone else in there and you would probably get a much better Mike Goldberg.
Yeah.
But he drags Mike Goldberg down into the mud with him.
It really
is. That is the darkest crime of all, really.
It really, making Mike Goldberg worse is a real remarkable feat. It's got to be said.
Who would have seen it coming? I mean, everyone liked John McCarthy.
No, and I've spoken to him, and I've you know, interviewed him and talked to him before. And
intelligent guy, and like you in conversations and interviews, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But man, is he dreadful on commentary.
Yeah. Just infinite amounts of like dad who can't stay on track with any
story. I don't even know what it is. It is just it is an absence of charisma that I have never encountered before.
It really
is remarkable. Yeah, I mean, it's like bad films, right? You can get so bad they're good films.
Which is Mike Goldberg.
Yeah,
exactly. And you can have you know, actually good films, and then you can get like there's a spectrum. But at some point there is a Goldilocks point where you just get a film which is unwatchable.
Yeah.
It's so bad that it's simply bad and it will not budge another step into like being worse so that it's funny. It's just
John McCarthy for me, is,
and it should be better.
John McCarthy is 72 minutes of your main characters wandering around in the woods.
He is the Godzilla film. Like the one that came out like after Independence Day, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's got to like be better than the
absolute Goldilocks of.
That's got to be better than John McCarthy.
You would think it, right? It has to be, but it isn't. It's incredibly boring. Everything about it says it should at least be like bad good, but it is in fact just like perfectly dull, and because it should be exciting, it's even more dull for that.
Yeah,
really does look like somebody took a Joe Lozon stock image and then did like creative character stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't look an awful lot like Matt Serra at all.
What?
Mm-hmm.
We're watching Dan Lozon.
Oh, this is Dan Lozon. This isn't the Nick Serra one.
No.
Uh-huh. I don't know what's happening.
Connor, are you watching the right video?
I'm watching the right one. I was just like struck by, this guy doesn't look like Matt Serra at all.
That's shocking. The kind of quality we bring to this show, folks.
Yeah, this guy
feel
looks
free to chime in on any video we watch, Connor.
This Nick Serra guy.
Tell them how much any fighter doesn't look like Matt Serra.
Does anyone get the impression that this Nick Serra guy looks like he was made in Mexico? Really strange.
Escudero, really, I kind of like
Escudero. I have a soft spot for him for some reason.
I don't want to discredit him this way, but I will say that he does feel like the moment that the Ultimate Fighter really died.
Yeah. I mean, he was the first one to be cut, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was
the first winner to be cut?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first winner.
The first winner where it was just like, oh no, we can't do anything with this guy, it turns out.
I developed a soft spot for him when he got brought back, and he did kind of okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a pretty competent fighter. He's just, you know, not amazing.
No. Just
this is all right. Hey.
Yes, Joe Lozon, but less badass looking than Joe Lozon.
Yeah.
Joe Lozon doesn't even look badass. He just looks like a freak.
Yes, I know.
This is like the Joe Lozon-based model, and they were like, oh, I want, you know, you're 14, you want to make it your own, you want to do cool create a character stuff to it, and you're like, you're going to give him, like, a weird haircut and some tattoos. And somehow looks much lamer than what you started with.
Yeah. It's almost like Joe is the Lozon created character where someone just jerked the sliders around in wild directions. Let's make the eyes too big. Ears, we're definitely taking that one up to the max.
Oh, yeah.
Escudero with.
Yeah, that is true. Dan Lozon does look like the generic one you would start with.
Yeah.
Okay, we've kind of both forgot what we're supposed to be doing now.
Yeah. There was a fight going on for a second, and then Escudero hit that Machida pose, and...
Oh, boy. The Superman punch is, I have to say, kind of gone from MMA now.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, because it's always been one of the stupidest moves. The fact that it's like a staple element of GSP's game is the most embarrassing thing about GSP.
Yep. Ooh, we got some cool footwork here from Efrain Escudero. This man is Muhammad Ali-esque right now.
He landed a good punch in there.
Yeah, there's every now and then somebody lands something. This is an amazingly miserable fight so far.
How did Escudero's face get all messed up? What even happened?
I don't know.
I will say that I do like that one of the last significant Superman punches was what's his face? The guy who fought Joe Schilling? Kato, was it?
Hisaki Kato. Yeah. Joe Schilling's Bane.
Yeah. That they tried to make that fight again and that he just got knocked dead with a Superman punch.
Yeah.
It's like the stupidest MMA, one of the stupidest MMA techniques.
That should be on the short list of worst knockouts of all time, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really bad looking knockout.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways.
Yeah.
It's just, also like the corpse bounce afterwards.
Oh my God.
And we're talking about it now because that was, I mean, this is also like Goldie. It's kind of Goldilocks MMA.
Yep.
But it's just.
Yeah.
It's not just competent enough. You can't, that it's, yeah, you can't even complain about it. It's like they're trying, they're doing stuff. It's just not good.
No. It really underscores the core problem for Efrain Escudero being that he just was not a very good athlete. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he couldn't push Lozon around with the wrestling, can't really make the striking match any distinct thing of his own.
You know, the weird thing about Dan Lozon as the brother is that, like, he does look kind of just normal. Like, he's kind of handsome. Yeah. You know, like, his weird freak brother, like, why is he doing this? You know what I mean? Like, it feels like for Joe Lozon, what was he gonna do? He's gonna be a janitor, he's gonna be a creepy janitor, or he was gonna do this. Two paths in life for Joe. Dan, it's like
Dan should be a pro skateboarder, or
he should be doing anything.
Or sell weed to kids.
Yeah, you should be the hottest guy in the call center or something. You know what I mean? Like he could easily be like he could easily be just a perfectly acceptable member of society.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is he also the older brother?
No, I don't think so. I think Joe's.
Isn't he?
I thought he was.
I thought he was the older brother.
I didn't think so.
I might be getting confused with the Millers.
Yeah. Let's see. Dan was born 1988.
Dan is 33.
Yeah, because
Joe is definitely older than 33.
Because he's the upgrade, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he?
What?
But he's the upgrade, so he is the second version. He's the second one.
Oh man! Hey,
that's getting his body shredded.
Sorry, Efrain. Why is Mike Goldberg's like Efrain wisely backs off? It's like what?
What?
That is my favorite MMA habit. Fighters literally are just wrecking someone against the fence, and then they just get curiously nervous and go away.
It's also like
Michael in the Burke. Middle of finishing the fight.
Like Goldberg compliment for it.
Yes.
Like he wisely backs away. Why? Was he in danger of getting knocked out there?
Whatever the thought process is that makes so many MMA fighters do that, Mike Goldberg is on the same wavelength. Intrinsically understood that decision.
Yeah. MMA isn't a sport. You're not actually supposed to have success or like do things or be good at MMA. You know, This is a sport where you're supposed to be constantly walking yourself backwards from the edge of doing something cool.
Right.
Yep.
Well, Joe Lauzon was obviously in a position where he was about to do something very dangerous.
Well, I mean, he,
his body language screamed comeback.
Also, I mean, it is fair that, like, Lauzon was covering up. And therefore, like, in that situation, the only thing you can do is to try and punch their head as hard as you can, as many times as possible. Well,
but he was hitting the body. That's the problem. He was hitting his body.
Yeah, that was obviously accidental.
Yeah, I think he was aiming for the head. It's just, you know.
But yeah, so he was hitting the head as hard as possible. The arms were there, so it's just time to give up. Yeah. Like, what else are you gonna do?
Exactly.
Huh? He's really starting to dominate Dan Lauzon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lauzon is in that state where he doesn't have good defense, and so therefore he has to pay every bit of attention he has to doing defense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nescudero is remembering that he's been working on the jab for the last couple of weeks.
Now, what am I supposed to do with it?
Just wave it at him. Just poke it out there.
There we go.
No, better back up.
It's time to wisely back away. Back away.
Yeah, no,
back away.
There you go. Don't want to hit him too hard.
Time to wisely back away.
Oh, man.
There is a sort of a Betch Kohea-ness to the way Escudero moves, isn't there?
There is,
yeah.
There's
that little adjustment step to cut Lauzon off there, where he sort of just his feet kind of like tangled up with each other.
Was he still undefeated when they were like, oh yeah, and you like just fight this like this kid, who's just kind of come into the UFC. He's basically still a teenager. You're a prospect too. Fight him, and then he fought like Charles Oliveira.
Ooh, went badly. Did that happen?
Yeah. And as I said,
Evan Dunham at that
point. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That the Oliveira fight was the one that got him cut, though. It was his next fight after this one. So, poor Efrain, you know.
He was cut and brought back more than once.
Yeah. He came back a couple years later.
He had a four-fight losing streak, which started with a loss to Jacob Volkman.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then he came back again in 2014 and fought for a couple of years in the UFC, and then he left again, and that was it. But he fought 2 years or 3 years ago. That was his last fight.
It was a win.
Not a terrible round for Efrain there.
No, it was...
He had one moment that was a little too wise for my liking, but otherwise.
Yes. So
he was swinging at the guard. I swear he went for the body at some point.
He did right at the beginning, but like it was before he realized that what he should be doing is punching the arms.
Yeah.
It's how you finish people.
I'm sure this is like
what
a figure.
What does his t-shirt say?
I don't know, it's probably a...
I'm looking up... Sorry, I got distracted looking for... looking for the backstory on Joe and Dan's famous split.
Phil, I'm going to guess that this being MMA, that was a cleverly obfuscated Nazi slogan of some kind?
Yeah.
On yeah. that t-shirt. Probably like a metal band called, like, you know... Blitzreich or something like that.
Oh, I missed it. Was it blurred out or was it?
No, it just looked like a death metal logo.
Okay.
That's a genre I kind of expect. How like death metal and black metal bands, no one at any point has been like, are our logos getting too ridiculous? They still look like that.
Yeah,
it's like a requirement for the genre.
Would it be useful if the people who we want to buy our stuff could read what our names are? No, that's not how it works.
they've just gotten more and more like arcane and complicated.
Yeah. Also,
oh, so this apparently, this apparently notably was the big split point between Dan Lozon and Joe Lozon.
Yeah, Rogan was talking about that earlier.
Yeah, that they kicked, because they kicked Dan out of the gym 2 weeks prior to this fight because he wasn't training hard enough. And so
that doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
he looks great. He looks in fine form.
Also, that blonde streak or whatever in his hair is super unfortunate.
It really.
It
does.
Either, depending on the angle, it either looks like just something has dropped on his head, like some giant bird has just crapped in his hair, or it just looks like a bald spot. Like, depending on the angle, it, like, at no point does it make him look cool and badass.
Maybe that's the real reason they kicked him out of the gym. Because he walked into training with that one day, and Joe was like, no.
We have a requirement for looking cool and badass, he said.
Yeah.
Said his Joe ears Lozon. Twitched slightly.
As Joe's tongue flicked out to catch a passing fly. Now leave. Efrain is all about control, Joe.
Right.
Yes. That's
a good point. Back all the way off again.
That was the controlled thing to do. Like, you're sitting there, you've got him on the cage, you're having success, you're beating him up. You've got to control yourself and back up.
He loves that jumping clinch knee that never seems to land.
Yep.
Really does.
Yeah, I mean, it really is remarkable, you know, looking back even at this generation of fighters and just then just seeing it seems so obvious in retrospect that there are people who would just grow to be genuinely good who just wipe them out of the division.
Yeah.
Like Dunham and Oliveira and so on. You're like, yes, of course that would happen. But at the time, you know, Escudero losing to Dunham was a massive upset.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you watch this guy now, it's, you know, you know what you know about Evan Dunham, and you're like, yes, a 20-something Evan Dunham, who was still in the prime of his career, would crush this person.
Mm-hmm.
He did also get, Escudero did also get smoked by Oliveira, Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right after this.
At the time, it was like, oh my god, Efrain Escudero is losing these fights. I can't believe it. He just won the Ultimate Fighter. He's a great wrestler, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Now you go back and you watch it knowing what you know, and it's like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
They actually fought at a high pace and had at least a similar amount of athletic ability. In Oliveira's case, a much higher level of athletic ability.
Yep.
And just... Well,
more fancy footwork. Here we go.
Look at him.
We're just sort of randomly.
Like a butterfly, sting like a butterfly.
Yep. Yeah, I remember I think he was obviously favored to beat Dunham, but I think maybe even like that and this one were enough of the bloom to come off the rose. I think Oliveira might have been favored to beat him, but anyway, like Oliveira just obviously torched him. It was.
Escudero's trying to make a sort of Holloway Lamas moment happen here.
He was -185, closed at -250 to beat Evan Dunham.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was closed at -145 to beat Charles Oliveira.
I think he just savagely Dan Lozon in the dick twice.
Good way to finish the fight, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he held up his arms like, got him. I'm pretty sure he did it twice.
Oh, just real, slapping the toes across the dick. Not even like the punt straight up the middle, but the roundhouse. Josh Rosenthal's like, okay, that wasn't cool, but I got some weed for you later for you to buy. You need a hookup, man?
Oh, he's deducted a point.
Wow. He's like, look, Efren, I know it was funny.
He seems pumped about it. He's like, yeah, I just lost a point for kicking that dude in the dick.
I think this is intimidating Dan Lowe's on more than anything else that's happened so far. Are we going to see it?
Yep.
No. Because I swear to God, there was a low kick, a kick that went low just before that the ref didn't see. And then he just kicked him again.
I think he just beat him in the crotch just then, too.
Here we go.
Okay, now we're getting
a
but like super bad.
That was so bad. I don't think a single punch was landed. That was awesome. This would be a good time to like just do a hard cut to like home footage of Joe Lozon asleep in his armchair. You know what I mean? just doesn't care.
They showed it. Yeah, they showed. There was another dick kick in the middle of that brawl.
Yeah, really.
Also, in that exchange, like there, I think the most significant strike was was Escudero just headbutting him.
Yes, it was.
Oh man. Kind of missed this era of MMA. It was miserable.
I've got to be honest, I don't.
It was so bad, but it was such an... Like, the sport has become... Like, fighters have become way better than the sport. You know?
This is the good old days with the racist t-shirts and the terrible commentary.
Oh, that is a Nazi
fighters
eagle.
Where you didn't know whether they were good or not.
I'm sorry, that t-shirt, that is a Nazi eagle.
Something
going on there.
Yeah.
The look on Rosenthal's face when he stepped in there was really good. He looked sort of like he was grossed out by the exchange.
Also, that the t-shirt, I always thought, like, surely it's dethroned.
It took me a whole, like,
I've never
3 minutes
seen it.
Of looking at it.
I've never seen it written Death Roan before in, like, two separate lines. It's like, who did this? What's a Death Roan?
Roan. Oh, Lord. All right.
Good stuff.
Now our final bout. Matt Makowski versus Nick Serra at Elite XC Primetime.
I will say, Zane, we often at least build to the most notorious fight on the card. I mean, on our card, as the case may be. Why have you made us watch Nick Serra at the end?
It seemed like the most fun idea. I don't know.
Yeah, Zane actually betrayed his usual impulse, which is to have us just end in abject misery.
Yeah, it's true.
I know that this, no matter what happens in the interim, this is going to be the most entertaining of the fights we've seen.
That is true. Valentin, like, if we'd done it on pure fame, it probably would have been Valentin.
Yeah.
Which would have been absolutely miserable to end on. A
horrible way to end.
All right. Let's kick off Serra Makowski from Elite XC Primetime. Starting in 3, 2, 1, go. Oh.
A rare female announcer.
Yeah.
Not actually that bad either.
No, I kind of like her style.
Man, it's amazing to think that Kimbo Slice and Seth Petrozelli just absolutely buried this promotion.
Oh yeah, the guy's got the Mad Max.
He's got the who's the is Legion of Doom heads
he appears to have a construction paper mask on his face.
Yep.
That was sick.
They really should let him fight with the spiky football pad.
Absolutely.
Hey, and he's got the same terrible Dan Lowe's on
him. Yeah.
What's going on? Was this a thing at the time?
I think Jason Miller did it too.
Is this the same time?
Oh, that's Jason Miller in the corner, so that would explain. Is that Jason Miller? Or is it? No, it's not. I thought it was for a second, but
I don't think I could identify Jason Miller at a glance.
No? Really?
I mean, I could if he started doing vaguely Jason Miller things, but maybe not if he was just being quiet in the background.
Let's see.
Oh, that Jason Miller. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what Jason Miller did you think I was talking about?
I don't
about?
Know. I don't Jason what Miller to me does
is, what why is he coming out dressed as a monkey throwing bananas everywhere?
Wait, what?
So this is Joe Lozon's brother?
No.
Oh, it was the mask.
Once again, he's the normal one.
That's right.
The mask. He looked a lot like
mask confused you. The big ears.
He looked a lot like Joe. Okay, all right.
An incredibly disheveled looking Ray Longo back there. Really just looks like he got off, like got out of the bar.
Sorry, but does anyone explain the monkey thing?
No. I don't know. He's got the sort of sloping brow for it, I suppose. He does have kind of a.
He's not. He would not be in like the top 20 most simian MMA fighters I've ever seen.
No.
Like, there's some strong ass competition in that particular.
This was two years before the Dan Lozon fight.
Yeah. No, I mean, once again, yeah, we're seeing the brother who looks like the normal one, but who had clearly got none of the actual MMA ability.
Maybe the ape mask was just to make him look more like Matt Serra.
Who's the most caveman looking MMA fighter? Isn't it? There's a guy named Amir something.
Sadala.
Not Amir Sadala.
Oh, he is certainly quite simian looking.
No, I think it was like a Dagestani guy or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always Forrest Griffin.
Forrest Griffin. Jason Forrest Witt right now.
Looks like a missing link.
Yeah, Jason Witt we have right now. He's very sort of Neanderthal-esque. I mean, he's up there. You got to get mad. He's up there. Nick Serra. Come on.
But also, it's just weird how much he just looks like young Matt Serra with hair.
Right.
Like, so I was like, oh, this guy looks like relatively like normal. But yeah, it's really just, it's just the whole hair thing and looking younger.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of a Matt Monkey Serra nickname.
He's got a bit of a like a John Travolta kind of thing going on too.
Yeah.
John Travolta's cousin, Bill Travolta.
Yeah. Giacomo Travolta.
Giancarlo Travolta.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is with that blonde streak? That really was an MMA style for like this late 2000s, early 2010s era. But now I have no idea why.
So let's see. That last fight was in 2010. This one is 2008.
I told you that just 10 minutes.
Oh, you did? I don't listen. Nick Serra with an immediate takedown, immediately reversed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Already a more interesting fight than anything we've seen.
Oh, they're twins. So that's why the just looks like Matt Serra with hair.
Yeah. Okay, that does make sense.
So he's like the hot twin.
Yep. Maybe they needed to distinguish themselves to make it in the MMA world, and they just had to flip a coin for who gets to keep the hair.
Just seems like it'd be more valuable even at that point to just not distinguish yourself so that you can do tag in like between rounds.
You're like. So Nick Serra has gotten markedly fatter since round one. But otherwise, this is definitely the same guy.
Just have Matt Sarah like wearing fight gear too, and they go out and they put the ice bag on, they surround the corner, and then like Nick Sarah just quietly exits the cage and Matt Sarah gets up.
It's just Matt Sarah with like a Silvio Dante wig. Like a really obvious hairpiece. We've already had a couple scrambles and changes of position. This is great.
Yeah, so far so good.
This is indeed the high watermark we've mm-hmm. established after Valentino Vereem against Finnish hey. Guy. Ooh, actual ground and pound.
Elbows, yeah.
It's okay, tough to imagine.
Now we're hitting our stride. Now we're hitting the just hugging.
I know, this is all right. I mean, this is a fight. This is a real fight.
Yeah, fair enough.
Got a back take. Guy's about to fall off the top, probably. Although I'm not sure if they'd innovated the bounce your legs up and down maneuver yet at this point.
Pulling him over the top. There we go.
Just sort of letting him fall. That's fine. I'm not sure he's going to lose it, though.
No.
Didn't. Yeah. He kept that hook in nicely.
Now he's going to. There's the butt.
There we go. If just only.
The hips again. There you go. You did it.
If only Nick Sarah knew about the Sulawev stretch.
Right.
Yep.
He's got it right there. The legs are close.
Oh, he's going.
I'm thinking about something, but no.
I think he's just trying to stay on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he might actually be sort of considering a leg attack there.
Nope, he's just going
for the arm bar.
Yeah.
Oh! Serious slam.
Yeah.
This is an actual fight, fellas. This is a real MMA fight. There's a bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah. And he looks tired now, although he's also doing sort of a weird monkey thing. I think he's really trying to embody that nickname. Like, he's just holding his arms like in a weird out position down by his waist. Like, like he was going to start going like...
All right, he's become very tired after the first couple of minutes.
Look at the way he's standing. Yes.
Oh, my.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
That is how you bail on a takedown, ladies and gentlemen.
Sort of injure yourself.
Backwards out of it using all four limbs.
Yeah.
And then sort of pull over and look like
bash your coccyx on the ground in the attempt to pull guard.
Oh, really does appear to be comically tired all of a sudden.
Yes. Nice uppercut there.
Good dirty boxing from fake CB Dolloway.
BC Dolloway?
Yeah.
He's not a good striker, but he's got the ideas when he's in close.
Yep.
Nick Sarah is comically exhausted.
Really? Yep. Really comically.
I'm astounded by how tired he got so quickly.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Especially since he was winning.
Yeah. I mean, no particular shade. That would be me, but that's kind of the problem.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want to hold fighters. Like, you're not the bar to be cleared here in the cage.
Absolutely not.
Oh. Just. And we, like, tired, and then the way he moves as well.
Yeah.
It just, people don't walk like that.
Yeah. He's got a sort of flared elbows, knuckles 3 inches above the ground, kind of natural stance.
Yeah, that Mad Monkey nickname is well earned. Seems like it was maybe one of those cruel Brazilian nicknames where they do it just to like mock somebody's innate physical appearance.
That was a real slam, man.
Mm-hmm.
The way he sort of lined him up and got his hands in position to drive his head into the floor. These were sick.
Yeah.
These are nice. Short uppercuts. Oh, love it. Little Tim Boach vibe there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't say when round one started. I don't think I said the last fight either.
We knew you gave up. We remember your whole speech about how you weren't going to try anymore and us being amazed you've been trying at all.
This was me trying. Again, sort of aligning with what you're saying. I did try, and then I forgot. Oh, my goodness. You can do it. Do it for Joe.
Oh, yeah, no. Who like that? What is that?
Oh, dear.
The simian swagger.
Come on, it can't be like this. It can't be like that there are twins and one of them is this much worse.
He walks like he just got off a ship for a month.
You are absolutely right.
Boatswain Nick Sarah.
His trash talk involves a lot of the word landlubber.
Ah, yes, scurvy sea mollusk. Calling him a son of a clam. A barnacle loving bilge rat.
Matt Sarah's giving it the Muay Thai knees. Did they say Muay Thai?
Yep, they sure did.
Oh, no.
The referee is
tired, as comically tired as I've ever. I haven't even seen Marius Pudzianowski that comically tired.
No.
This is Kimbo. This is Kimbo Slice level tired. It is the fact that it's him waving his arms around in unison when he's tired.
Yeah,
I think is the coolest thing.
They do a weird sort of flap with his steps.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh.
I get the adrenaline dump, but he didn't recover at all between rounds.
This is tragic.
At this point, it's almost like Matt Mikowski, you really should have finished this man by now.
Yeah, just push him. You don't even have to punch him. Push him. You can push him to the finish. You
could absolutely just push him over.
Yeah.
Nick Sarah's got to go for broke, apparently. I think he is broke like this.
Yeah. He's well broke at this point.
The way he walks away is killing me. Oh my god.
Oh.
Oh my god.
There we go.
He's just like, just falls over on the floor and he's like, oh, sweet rest.
It talked to the point. Why bother? Oh.
Oh, that was tremendous.
Oh, God. He looks like
he's about to throw up. He really looks like he's about to just absolutely throw up.
Oh. I kind of wish we'd had a more patient ref and there had been like 20 more seconds of him refusing to get up.
Yeah. But that was
the lead up to it was well worth it.
Also, how excited Mikowski is. Like, he has just won the most badass fight of all time.
Yeah.
He did not have an opponent just run himself into the ground and then quit.
To be fair to him, he was only 2-0 at this point, apparently.
Yeah. Please show us the kick into the butt scoot. That was...
Yeah, somehow even more comical that he fell and not actually had disease and like the butterfly guard. So just like you just collapsed in a heap. You don't need to pretend that you're also going to be ready to fight.
Man, oh man.
Wow.
That was the best of both worlds. See, it was like we actually had a genuinely interesting fight, and then it was just pure comedy for the next 6 minutes. Yeah, then it just
absolutely disintegrated.
Chiron says DQ, but I believe that is a TKO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, this interview rules.
He's got such a
sense of style, and also he knows how to have lines ready, which don't quite make sense.
Yeah. It should have been more along the lines of like, I've heard of getting the monkey off your back.
Him out. Yeah.
I've heard of getting the monkey off your back, but how about putting the monkey on his?
You know? Hey. Yeah.
That monkey couldn't get off his own back.
You have a future ahead of you, Connor.
I know it.
As
in the most literal sense of there is time at which you will still be alive.
Unfortunately true.
Yeah.
Yep, it's still happening.
Sweet Oblivion will not be coming for you yet.
All right. On that note, we're going to wrap this up. You can find me on Twitter at TheZaneSimon. You can find Connor on Twitter at BoxingBush. You can find Phil on Twitter at EvilGregJackson. Find all three of us over at BuddyObo.com. Give us a like, subscribe to our podcast, BuddyO Presents on SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all those good places. And we will be back for the next episode of the MMA Depressed Us in like 2 months, I want to say. Let's see. Okay. List of UFC events. April's booked. May is, the last week of May. May 28th.
And for that one, I think we should go with one of our other ideas, which was the Pale Imitation Fighters.
Yeah. I think we'll actually ride that. We've got a bunch of guys to go through with that. So thanks everyone for tuning in, and see you in a couple months.
Thank you for listening to this Bloody Elbow Presents production. To check out more of our content, hop over to the Bloody Elbow Presents SoundCloud and iTunes pages, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is titled Bloody Elbow Presents. We are also on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Player FM, and Amazon Music. Just search for Bloody Elbow Presents, and you will get brand new shows throughout the week, including Care Don't Care, The Mookie and Crookie Show, The Open Guard Cast, The MMA Vivisection, The Level Change Podcast, The Sixth Round Post-Fight Show, Sixth Round Retro, The MMA Depressed Us, Crooklyn's Corner, Exclusive Fighter Interviews, Show Money, and radio-style play-by-play for every UFC pay-per-view. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter, at Bloody Elbow, Facebook, at facebook.com/bloodyelbowblog, and as always, on bloodyelbow.com.